Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Your prosperity today is a byproduct of your thinking. It's scriptural. Dear beloved, I wish above all things that you may be in health and what? Prosper, even as your soul prospers. You see that? And some people may be wondering, but my soul has prospered. I know the information of that. I know the information of that. I understand this side of life. You think that's the only side that it is? Didn't God say what would a man gain if he gets the whole world and loses his soul? Didn't he say that? That simply means you could know physics, a lot of medical information, a lot of programming, a lot of whatsoever information, and still not be capacitated to be prosperous. What he said is this: if you seek first the kingdom and his what? Every other word. It is important you understand that God will bless the works of your hand. So you need to learn a skill. But you see, your prosperity is useless to God if it's not predicated upon the kingdom. So if you don't have no appetite for God's kingdom, he really doesn't think you should have money. And to God, he thinks you are a fool. Yes. Listen, let me do the math for you. The fool says there is no God. Okay, you that is wise are living as if there is no God. Are you different from a fool? A fool says there is no God. You who thinks there is God are living in disobedience. So to you, your action proves that there is no what? God. And that's why I say the prosperity of a fool, what? Destroys him. So you are in the category of somebody that does not know God. If you are following this God, follow him to the core. You can't claim to be following God and be walking in disobedience. After all, according to God's word, it is obedience that proves that you are a child of God. Not coming to church and sitting here, even though this is part of obedience, but the sum total of the obedience of your life. In this place, outside this place. Because he sees you. Before him, everything lays bare. He sees you. He sees you here. He sees you at home. He hears what you are saying. He sees everything about your life. He sees your thoughts. So to God, a child of God is not the one that came to church or came out and said, I receive you alone. But the one who listens to him every time he says something. He says in Romans 8:14, you all know that scripture. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, he said, they are the sons of God. Isn't it? Did he say, for as many as dance, for as many as that come and sit in church, for as many who shout, in fact, he said somewhere that you can call me Lord, Lord, and still not know nothing about me. Lord, 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 and just be a hypocrite. He said it somewhere in Matthew, I think, in the Synoptic, Matthew, Mark, Luke. So, see, let's become genuine Christians. Christians to the core. I always speak about Christians with what? Magnitude and what? Directions. Be genuine Christians. I was sharing with a friend. He was trying to saw some wisdom in ministry. Very humble friend from the base we started together. And was asking me sincerely, it is a concern in the heart of most young pastors. How do I go about finances in the ministry? How do I go about, man of God, I see what God is doing with you. And that aspect of finances, how do you think I should go about it? My people, I'm wondering if I talk about finances, how they'll see me, blah, 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 blah. I said, listen, don't invite even me. I wouldn't, if I come to your place, I'm not going to teach on finances. I'm not their pastor. I will not talk about giving to their man of God. I said, sit your people down and teach them this word. If you are not lying, why are you scared? teach them everything that God thinks about life and finances. Teach them. And leave the consequences to the Holy Spirit. The truth is that no matter what you teach, the best of you as a pastor, some people will reject it. Not even Paul was spared. The Bible says Paul came later and said, "Oh, ye what? Foolish Galatians, haven't taught so well." We all know Paul as Paul, such a powerful preacher, we all say. But Paul taught somewhere and people rejected his teaching. Not just to the people of to the Galatians church. Even the book of Acts, the Bible said after he was done for a few hours convincing the people, some accepted and some what? Refused to accept. Did Paul say my ministry has finished? Did he cry or anything? No. I said if you keep on thinking what people will say about you, you can never fulfill ministry. So I told him, gather your people and teach them the word. I asked him a question. Are they out of their mind to think that the money will fall from heaven for ministry work to be done? How do they think things should be done in church? Or should the man of God alone carry everything as all his money? I mean, you know, I told you one time, I said, the Lord told me, he said, man of God, Simon, son. I said, man of God. So I'm trying to say anything he said at the beginning. But he spoke to me to make sure I don't do things ahead of people in church. A lot of time I can't even help myself. My wife knows. Before you know, I finished my money. But he says, tell people to give. Don't do it alone. Let people do it with you. Do not do it alone. For if you do it alone, you are raising a wrong set of people. He told Moses, tell the people. Isn't it? That's his pattern. Tell the people. Where were the people? In the wilderness. What did they have in the wilderness? Nothing. They gave their gold. They gave their spoons, which were gold. They gave their plates, some of them. And they used it to do the temple. So, pastor said we should give in church. What do I have? Whatever you have, start from there. God loves the word. A cheerful giver. Give happily from where you are. Nobody is saying that you should give and go and die. No. But you must understand that giving too is a part of the kingdom. I've not stressed this for a while. But you see, I'm stressing it without fear because it's in my heart as the Spirit of God is aiding me to talk. If you think you are cheating other people by just coming, I mean, you sit in this church, January, since the years you've been here, you don't know anything about how things are done here financially. You just sit and you're just excited, you know, looking at everything. In fact, some of the things you haven't participated in and, you know, enjoying it. But you never care to ask. You never try to contribute about anything happening in the church. The truth is that you are not a Christian. I tell you the truth. You are only a mental center. Even if it's in your house that poverty originated, as long as you claim to be a child of God, God thinks you should give. If the children of Israel gave, God thinks you can what? Give. Because it is in giving that you never lack, not in receiving. Whether you like it or not, something happens to your heart when you give. When God wanted to help Solomon, he gave him what? The largeness of heart. What does that mean? The ability to receive more. And that's why you see that Solomon gave without measure. People bring seed to him, and when they bring, what he gives them is times two of their seed. One of the principles nobody can deny about Solomon, even though he had a lot of wealth, is his giving ability, capacity. Read your Bible. That when he's done paying even a worker, they say his village, the villagers of that worker will survive on Solomon's pay. Talk about the richest man, one of the richest men in the Bible. Think about how he became the richest man. And he didn't become a rich man by saying, God, give me money. Is that what he said? Huh? Even though it's good to call money to come, don't think that's the reason why God will give you all the money. You should have had a motive, a good motive as the base for that your calling of money should be predicated upon. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? You're not just calling randomly because you have one stupid hair to buy somewhere or one car to change. The money coming to me with a very wrong motive. You want to come and kill with the hair or you want to come and show up with the car. You are wasting your time. Solomon did not say, God, give me money. I want to show some people something in this town. I want to show them I've arrived. Let me prove to my enemies that you are my God. He didn't talk like that. All he demanded of the Lord is that the assignment God has given him, that started with his father, he wants to do it well. Give me the wisdom to judge your people properly. That's how he finished God. Not in the wrong sense. Just give me the ability to do your work well. That was all. And God said, you asked for such. Not asking for even long life. Not asking for even money. For what you have done. I've given you the wisdom, number one. And even money you did not ask for, I'm giving you also. Long life, I'm giving you also. You see that? Cheat code is following God. I'm saying it the second time again. If you seek first the kingdom, every other word. But Satan is so, I don't know how he survives that, how he always seems to prevail. I don't know how Satan, somebody will see this kind of scripture. And Satan will come and convince you to do otherwise. And you know, a lot of times when you are doing otherwise, you are not even aware. Because if you truly are seeking God's kingdom first, why will you not pray an hour at least this morning? Some will say, no, I like praying in the night. How many times do you truly go back and pray in the night? Let's not pretend. I've prayed both mornings and night. I can tell you it's more difficult to pray in the night than to pray in the morning. Even though both is difficult, I know both is difficult, especially for those who love to sleep very well. But I know that it's more difficult to pray in the night than to pray in the morning. So you finish all the hard work in the day, you now think, go back home, and they say, let's pray. You will be surprised, wife is quarreling husband, husband is quarreling wife. What joined the fight? Prayer. I'm telling you the truth. Some will say, I want to pray in Jesus' name. AC is blowing them. Do not fold their hand on their bed with pillow on their hands. When they just check their time, it's 5 a.m. And you just see this thought will whisper. That's how Satan just zip their mouth. Don't worry, God will understand. But it no be firewood. God will understand. And that's all for that day. Meanwhile, there are possibilities in the realm of the spirit. Your prayer can just align together. Have you ever heard that sleep made anybody prosperous in this world? Have you ever heard it? I'm not saying it is not genuine to pray. Sorry, to sleep. It is. There are some of you that I tell you the truth. Maybe just 2% of you. The best prescription the Holy Spirit is telling you this evening is to go and sleep. Sleep is very important. But the rest of you, I say 2%. The rest of you, the Holy Spirit is emphasizing you should go and pray. Yes, there are some people that don't like to sleep. And it's not genuine reasons, though. They want to make money. You pursue money till you have stroke. Then you die, your younger sister or brother eats your money. How can you die and your father even inherit your money? They say, eat something. They say, no. My days of eating will come. These are my seed days. I'm not going to eat. I'm going to save and buy crypto. These are my seed days. I will not eat. You know, some people are greedy. I can't go moving to themselves. You are making money. Buy. You are not giving it. I buy yourself food. Say, no. We have to be managing this house. See, go and buy a leftover and come. Today there is no fish. Just turn Gary. And let's put body and soul together. Okay, buy chicken. It's once in a month. Once in a month, buy chicken. They say, how much is chicken? They say, 10,000. I say, what? We're not eating chicken. You don't just want to eat anything nice. In the name of you are saving money. And let me encourage you before I touch something very powerful. I prophesied one time. Is it a prophecy? Maybe people will call it prophecy. But do you know some things I say to you, and I did not say it from a consciousness of prophecy. I just look at the word of God, what he says. I see what the other person is doing, and I predicted that that's what will happen to that person. It's not like I saw anything happening to that person. As long, I've said it once, twice, thrice, as long as somebody is not following God's prescribed way of doing things, there are always consequences. There are always consequences. We were watching a movie. I don't like emotional movies, so I forwarded it and finished it in less than 5 minutes on my phone. She likes to take her time and enjoy the moment. Was it last 2 days? Monica. So I came out from my room in the midnight and I saw her watching Monica. It's been a long time we watched TV in the house. We hardly watch TV. So I was like, this one Mama T is having time to watch a movie. The movie should be interesting, you know. So me too, I sat down and I saw how the girl was being maltreated by her mom. Terribly, terribly. And I was losing it already. I couldn't wait. I'm like, this kind of things exist. She said, yeah, it's a true life. I say it's a lie. It cannot be a true life story. You know, why would people just allow people to suffer them like that? Who thinks like that? You know, so I was arguing with her that no, nobody is in this world like that. Why would you do, if anybody ever existed like that, the person did not try. So I was telling her, it's not possible. I will lie down, sit down, they will not pay my WAEC fee and the rest, and my junior sisters and brothers will be getting going to university and coming. What rubbish? I was just arguing with myself. I said, no human being can be that wicked. She said, no, they say it's a true life story. I said, it's a lie. So I went to my room and I typed Monica on my YouTube this thing. Because it was disturbing my heart. Why would somebody do that kind of wickedness to his child? I don't believe, till today, I don't believe that it never happened. Like it's your blood. I want to say blood daughter. It's your daughter. And the father will sit down and then they talk. He said, ooh, ooh. I said, no. So it was my YouTube that was on the TV. So I pressed it and stop where I stopped. So I forwarded it until I finished. Of course, if you forward, you know what happened behind. So I forwarded, I predicted what happened behind. And they said there was a part two. In less than 5 minutes, I finished it. So I came back outside and I told her, I want to tell you how this thing ended. She said, no. I started this thing and she closed that. Yes, I was running away. You know, I wanted to really know. You know, at the end, the lady now became successful and the rest. And I saw how she was tough. I said, that's a good one. And that's what we are talking about. Because this thing ought to have happened since. Say to your younger brother, slap you. Two times, not even once. The pwai, pwai. Everybody is learning slap on your face. Your younger sister marry your boyfriend. Your mother supported it. Your mother told you not to marry a man that loves you. You believe. That thing did not happen, Jerry. Just saying, yeah, things. You know? But this is the point. What was I even talking about before I got here? Huh? Yeah, there are consequences. So I was telling her, I said, if these people do not regret what they did to this girl, there's a way I wanted to say the thing, but I stopped that day. And I told her that God will make them regret it. You know, the act movie, you'll be getting angry as if, I told her, I said, this woman must regret what they have done. They have to, you know, God must show them, because if God doesn't show them, it will not be okay. They will not learn their lessons. And I showed that from scripture. So I was proving it to from the Bible. What a man sow, he must reap. Else God is mocked. You do me wickedness in this world. I did not do you anything. You are just doing me wickedness. So you now get away with it. It will not happen. For God to tell us to keep quiet, you will fight the battle. It's the most dangerous one. Fear people that keep quiet too. Like one time we were having this land issue. I wanted to charge one time. The Lord told me to keep quiet. So I kept quiet. My emotions were rising. I wanted to tell the man that in 3 minutes I can break two of your bones and you'll not be alive again. But I just moved out. And I felt like a very genuine Christian while I was driving. I could just feel the angels singing, Simon, you've made it. Simon. So I was just feeling the anointing so intense. And the Lord told me, he said, be still and you'll know. That's when I knew those people, their own are finished. It's more dangerous. So now, they just see me everywhere and I'm smiling. I'm not saying anything. it's more dangerous. The Bible says you are heaping coal of fire for them. But the point I'm trying to make is that there are always what? Consequences. See, God is so good. He will not allow you to leave this world without knowing that this bad path you are taking has consequences. He's so faithful. You see, if you are doing a very bad thing now, God is too faithful to allow you not recognize through an experience that that thing you are doing is a bad thing. I'm telling you the truth. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I know one good thing with God. He will allow you because he can take you out of the trouble. That's why he will allow you to learn by experience. Because there is no trouble he can't take you out from. Think about it. Even when you have HIV and AIDS, he can heal you. What do you want to have? Because it will take a lot of scrutinizing you. He will mold you. Firstly, God takes his time. What has been built, he will scatter it first. It must become mud, then he will start again. You don't want to be at that point in your life. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. That is why, as the word is coming now, just listen and obey. Listen and what? Obey. Well, if you want to come to that point where God will say, okay, if you really want to follow me, let me just start this thing again. He will take his time. He will take his time. You will not be thinking he's wasting time. Remember Abraham and Sarah? They thought God was wasting time. What did they do? Sarah arranged maid. A woman of God told a man of God, this is not a sin. You are not cheating. I know you are a faithful man, but it's me that want to give you something, Abraham. She gave up on herself. She said, hey, he said, Abraham, which one do you like? Choose. And probably Abraham chose and said, I don't want to do this deal, but I think that one is okay. She called her. Follow my husband to the room. And after everything, she said, I hope everything is fine, right? Darling, they did not say useless man, cheat. Darling, you know, everything was okay. Like, man is not angry with him. He didn't feel like it was sin. I don't know that you are getting what I'm trying to say. You know those kind of sin that it will happen that it will not be like sin because there's no consequences, you know, happening at that moment. It doesn't seem like there will be a consequence. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. Like when you cheat in exams and things like that. If you observe, if you really stay with God, except you repent, if you stay with God, if you fail Mass 101 and now write carryover, when you finish and face life, you will pass before people that are doing Expo in class. That's how God thinks. When he was done, what happened? He had what? Ishmael. God said, that's not it. That's not what I want. I have to take the glory. Don't help me. Follow my way. He now gave them an encounter. An angel came and said, I am from God. What he promised, he's about to redeem. I'll show you something at the end of this. He will give you a child and you become father of many nations. And Abraham, you know, served the angel well. He was a messenger of God and everything. Sarah could not help herself. Little made her laugh. And like I joked on Sunday, she said, sorry for the laugh. And Abraham apologized too on her behalf. It seems as if everything was finished. She has passed menopause. Everything was finished. Against all hope, the Bible says in Romans 4, they had faith. What happened? Against all hope. No hope. No reason for faith. Abraham still believed God. He said, God, it will happen. I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. And when he believed God, the Bible says what? It was counted for him for righteousness. What a man. All of a sudden, Sarah had a child. She was pregnant. How? Not even biology can explain this thing. Not biology. They can't explain this thing. How did Sarah become pregnant? That's how it is with following God. You will look at all the hopes. You think there is no hope. Follow God. Follow God. For you are thinking an angel should come and talk to you. The Holy Ghost has spoken to you. He has given you a rhema. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the word. All of a sudden, Isaac came forth. All of a sudden, Abraham became the father of many nations. This is the question. For people who didn't follow God and lived a very long life, how many of them can we remember today? Who can you remember that lived as long as Abraham in his time, in his generation? Abraham, at an old age, God's word was fulfilled in his life. He became the greatest, one of the greatest men that has ever hit the world. That's what it means for you to be great in God. It may happen at the tail end of your life, which it will not happen for you by God's grace. It will happen now. But if God really happens to you, the whole world must talk about you. That's why the Bible says, better is the end of a matter than what? The beginning. Meanwhile, the Lord told me to share one scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, from verse 9. Just one scripture and we go back home. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of a man, the things which God has prepared for those that love him. Let's read again. 1, 2, 3, read. Let's read again. 1, 2, read. Now let's read John 14 and 15 together. John 14 and 15. 1, 2, read. 1, 2, read. Alright, so God just made a statement here. If you love me, what will happen? You will keep my commandment. I remember years ago I heard a preacher and I agree. He said, don't see it with a harsh tone. Like God giving a law. If you love me, keep my commandment. No, he's saying it in a love language, in a nice way. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandment. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, what does it mean to love God? What does it mean to love God? To keep his commandment, right? But he has said that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men what God has what? Prepared for those that love him. We'll read again. He said, as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of men what God Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for those who love him. I was coming to church and the Lord started trying to explain this scripture to me. He said, those who love me are the ones that what? Keep my commandment. If you've been around in church, you observe that some people think, and you may even be tempted to think that, it seems God does not care about purity. In my work with God, he cares. But you may be tempted to think so because you will see how that people do wrong stuff and they still see a demonstration of the Spirit. Especially preachers. Preachers are very amazed because sometimes when they are not even right with God, they see God demonstrate himself in a wonderful way. And they are wondering, what's really happening? I thought if I'm not okay with God, things like this shouldn't happen. And sometimes you'll be tempted. Does it seem like God does not really care about purity? Now, the Lord was speaking to me as I was driving. He said, eyes have not seen. What I want to show people who walk in purity is what eyes have not seen. What ears have not heard. He said, when I explained this scripture, when I showed this scripture to Apostle Paul, had Elijah come? Elijah, has it manifested yet? Did Elisha manifest yet? Call, did Moses manifest yet? All the prophet of old, did they manifest yet? Did we see the book of Acts yet? Yet he said, what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard, what has not entered the hearts of men, God has prepared for those, let me paraphrase, those who will what? Walk in purity. Those who will obey him. Eyes have not seen what God will do through your life. Ears have not heard what God will do through your life. It has not entered the hearts of human beings what God will do through your life if you live by his word. If you live by his word. If you dare to live by his word. So we can settle down, settle together, you know, agree together and say, what many people are saying yet in their life, you know, and are not agreeing that God is alive, is a function of them not living by the word. They are not living by the word. We can't call God a liar. We have to call your experience a liar. A liar, I mean. Are you listening to me? One of those days I was talking to leaders, I said, sometimes people make it look as if God is not faithful. They'll be like, I've been serving God, I've been praying. The truth is that you have not been praying, you have not been serving God properly. Stop lying. Stop lying. I've been praying, I've been serving God properly, blah, 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 and things are not working. Is God really alive? He's alive. You are the one acting dead. He's the truth. And I say, let's take, for instance, how some people pray. They want to pray with their phones on their hands. They want to pray thinking of the next chat they'll chat. Meanwhile, the Bible said the effectual, heartfelt, continuous. Ask the regular Christian when last he prayed effectually. Because, in fact, in our time, people neglect effectual prayer. They try to substitute it for heartfelt. But the Bible says, let all align together. Effectual, meaning it must, you know, align with the teachings of Scripture. Heartfelt, continuous prayer of the righteous. Somebody is praying, his heart is not there. And your heart will not be there if you are backbiting. You will not feel righteous and nice about yourself if you are praying and Satan reminds you of the wrong things you are doing. Even though the Bible said God is greater than your heart, it is for somebody who has repented and has moved on. And probably Satan is trying to bring those old memories. God is greater than your heart. But for you who are living in it, Satan has legal ground to stop you from praying. He will keep on disturbing you. Because the legitimacy for his disturb is your sin. The sin is not like a particular sin. The sin has become your lifestyle. Are you listening to me? So it will remind you like this. It's not like he's entirely right. But you see, you don't even want to leave the sin. Now, in that kind of situation, how do you want the Holy Spirit to help you? You love sin, but you claim to love God. It's not possible. Even though emotionally it is appealing. There's a singer that sang a song who said, I love you forever, I love you forever. Then he said something, I make much mistakes sometimes, but I love you. And one time I said we should stop singing that song. Well, if you sit down and imagine what that singer was thinking in his heart, it is probably the times as Christians we made mistakes. Are we together? So when we make the mistake, God should still understand in the mistake that we love him, which emotionally it is right. It is emotionally appealing, but it is not truth. He said, if you love me, you would keep my commandment. And he tells us in scripture that he that sin unknown me cannot continue in his sin. That simply means that the reason why you can be walking with God and be falling and be falling and be falling is because you are not knowledgeable enough. But it's quite disturbing when we see that Christians now don't even care about the knowledge. Religiously, they just feel like it is a must for every Christian to sin sometimes. It is dangerous. It is a very dangerous belief. What is really that sin? What is sin? Who is sin? Who is Satan? Is it that we claim to be part of God's kingdom, but there's something, once in a while, demons come into the kingdom and they move our hand and our leg into sin? Is that possible? If the Bible says we are truly seated together with Christ far, how did Satan come that far and still cost us to sin sometimes? Does it make any sense? But you see, we have not even settled our mind at this level of knowledge. We feel we can't attain it. God said it, but we feel that we are not qualified for it. That is why a lot of times you still go back to sin, even if you claim a few times and have confessed you are God's righteousness. You probably were tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So you go back to Facebook and somebody is shouting. That is why we tell you as your pastors, you know, any sound pastor who knows what he's doing, we always put this law like Paul did. He told Timothy to travel, Titus to travel to certain cities so that what he has taught them, he will sustain. He told them not to listen to other people, but him who is their pastor. Not because there are no other preachers, but he is sent to them. God has tied their destiny together. And that they should understand that God is faithful enough not to allow them to fall into the hand of a wrong person if he led them to that Pastor Paul. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? That's the reason you see many Christians fall back to sin. And religiously now, we have a belief that once in a while we should sin. So some churches, for instance, have days they've prescribed for, arranged for, and confessing of your sin. I'm not trying to mock. Even with the Pentecostal, we are not really far from this orthodox belief. That belief, as Christians, we ought to sin sometimes. Because we are saying it to you. You hear pastors say things like, no man can be perfect. If no man can be perfect, why were you angry the last time you heard people sin in your church? You paved the way for the devil. Because he said, be perfect. You are speaking anti-Christ. Because you wanted to appeal to your emotions. He said, be perfect as your word. Father in heaven is what? Perfect. God does not make empty declarations. If God tells you something, he has already made provision available. When he told Abraham to tell Ishmael and his mom to leave, it was because he knew that somewhere, the moment their eyes, their mind, you know, gets to him, they will discover water and they will drink. He had made provision for water in the future. If God tells you to do something, there's already provision. Paul said, your grace is perfect. Your strength is perfect in weakness. He said, your grace is what? Sufficient for me. At the weakest point of his life, Paul the preacher almost lost it. And somebody may say it was when Paul was living by the law. Not true. It doesn't make any sense to say it was when Paul was living by the law. Because at that point, he said he killed Christians with a clear conscience. That guy did not have conscience at that point. Because the Bible said he saw the law 3 times. To take the infirmity from him. That means at this point Paul had conscience. That's why he prayed thrice that the Lord takes that weakness from him. But the Bible said God answered him and said, Paul, my strength is perfect in what? Weakness. My grace is sufficient. Meaning God is telling Paul, listen, you can come out of this. You can live like it doesn't exist. I know you feel so weak about yourself, but you are very strong. I created you. You did not create yourself. A lot of weak things have happened. We've seen a lot of weak people metamorphose upon the face of the earth. Weakness, you turn here, your brother is weak. You turn here, your father is acting weak. Sorry to say, your father is cheating on your mom. Your mother is hiding money. They are quarreling every day. You are seeing weakness everywhere. Weakness is witnessing to you everywhere. You think it is not easy for you to just accept perfection and strength? You think it's easy? When you come to church, you now hear things that blow your mind. Normal things to God. Normal things in the realm of the spirit. Blowing your mind. Walking contrary to the things of the flesh. Walking contrary to the belief system of your mind that have been created over the years through the experiences you've had all around your life. All around your life. Now they say you are perfect, you are fighting it. Not because it's not true, but because you've been trained years ago. You've seen imperfections every day. It's almost the norm of the day. And here you are. Somebody is saying you can be perfect. How will you believe it? It's difficult. But is it true? Yes, it is true. It is true. Is it true? Yes. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And somebody say, no, he's God. God is perfect and we're not. But he calls you to be perfect. Sometimes I just feel we're just being hypocrites. Somebody that said, I created you in my own image and likeness. And you think you should be anything lesser than him? We're only lesser in that we're not God and he's God. But all of his nature he has given us. He said, you are partakers of my divine nature. You think he was having a very wonderful day and he regrets saying that after he said it? He said, you are partakers of my divine nature. My goodness, that settles it in my heart. and have escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, by the understanding of his great and precious promises, partakers of his divine nature. I can't forget this in a hurry. If I'm a partaker of his divine nature, I carry this in my heart. This is how we carry the yokes and burdens of God. Partakers of his divine nature. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. You see, that's how you find rest for your souls. Oh, I'm a partaker of your divine nature. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I've escaped the corruption. I don't joke with the word of God. I don't joke with the word of God. It's the truth of my life. Who is option B, for goodness sake? Who is option B? Who will make me have a second thought of God's word? Say, maybe I should not follow it. Where? Who is that person? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heed, it has not entered the heart of men what God has prepared for those that dare to believe his word, those that act on his word, those that believe his word. Eyes have not seen. They've not seen a perfect man before. If he said we can be perfect, and I believe I can be perfect, I walk in perfection, they've not seen it. Eyes have not seen perfect people, ears have not heard perfect people, it has not entered into the hearts of men, perfect people. Do you understand? Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard one man defeating a city, one man defeating a government. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, it has not entered. You'll see it if you dare to believe the word like David did. He was ignored by all, almost forgotten as a son of his father. It was God who remembered that. It was God who told them, reminded them, because God did not forget him. God reminded the family that there's David. He who sees and knows all things. David was faithfully serving his father's flocks. He didn't want to disappoint his father. He was so faithful, he had to learn how to defend the animals, because he didn't want to take a wrong report back to his father. In a bit to do his father's work very well, he developed skills. He developed capacity. That capacity was what made him to kill Goliath. He learned in the job while he was daring to fulfill his father's assignment, his father's dream. We can see that in prophetically. God has told us to do this. Why we are trying to do what God is telling us to do. My goodness, I can share something so powerful here now. I can almost tell this to all of you here. Today we have people, today this Pastor Anch is a HR. Some of you are programmers. Some of you are doing wonderful in your companies. You all learned this thing. He started in church. That's where the seed came from. If you didn't dare to serve God and be wonderful leaders in church, you will not become who you are today. That seed was from church. You are hardworking today. Everybody thinks you're excellent. The seed was in church. As you dare to obey God, as you dare to serve God, see who you are today. I sat with somebody in my office. If he's watching, he'll bear witness. He said, Pastor, I think the problem people have with your guys is that they are very excellent. And I can see it. It's not a coincidence that everyone is excellent. It's not a coincidence. Is it a coincidence? It is not. If you dare to leave the word of God from the depth of your heart, it will profit you outside even serving God. Some of you don't know, if you start serving God properly, even the skill you get to discover about your life, it will spring from service. I'm telling you the truth. It's the truth. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Don't joke with God. You must sit down like Paul and say, we have to check ourselves to see if we are within the parameters of faith. Are we really doing what we ought to do rightly? How dare me? At this point of my life, just because of this and that, I'm not serving God properly? How dare me? How did I get to this point? Because of 400,000, 500,000, 600,000, even a million? How dare me? No. This is dangerous. This is a dangerous place to be. And Lord, I repent tonight in the name of Jesus. I will not continue like this. In the name of Jesus. You know what you are doing? You are proving yourself over and over before God. Your heart is hovering in the realm of your spirit. God is seeing a matured human being. A beautiful soul. A man that deserves the whole world. Like David. No, they forgot him, but God was seeing a very beautiful mindset. The mindset of David was shining like the sun of heaven. It was shining in heaven. All God was seeing was his mindset. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It was not a physical stature. God was seeing a king in the bush, a king walking like a Fulani man, carrying cows and sheep around. God was seeing how he was doing his things. And God was like, no, I've seen a king for Israel. This is the person I think should rule Israel from the bush. You think Makodi is hiding you. You've not started acting rightly. You've not started thinking rightly. You are not in a bush, you are even in a town. If God can see somebody in a bush because he had the right mindset, is it you in this town that God will not see and show to the whole world? Is it when you get to Abuja and Lagos that you'll be seen by the whole world? You are not disadvantaged because of a physical location. You are not just ready to walk with God. If you are ready, even if it takes time, it will be worth the time. Because he will redeem the wasted years. The years that you think were wasted. If God happens to you, everybody will know this was God. Or this is God. Allow God to happen. Don't be giving birth to Ishmaels. You'll be disappointed. And I submit to you, some of you need to go back and submit back Ishmael to the mother and say, leave. You need to really stand in faith with God. Don't try to do things yourself. Don't produce results from the flesh. Are you listening to me? Serve God from the depth of your heart. You say, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of any human being on the earth what God Almighty has prepared for us that love him. No eyes have seen. That should be your synesis, your confession every day and night. And of course, why will eyes and ears and the minds of people not see and yet see finally? Because you are standing with the word. You're not just a mental assenter. You meditate upon the word day and night. You will cause your path to be prosperous. You are the reason why men will see what eyes have not seen, what ears have not heard. They will see it finally when you stay enough with the word. Firstly, if you stay enough with the word, you will not walk in sin. You will see all the reasons why you should not walk in sin. You know, it comes to a point years ago I was writing. I said, when you grow in God, you come to that point that you see from God's perspective. You understand why it is not necessary, just as God is thinking. You see from his parameters. You just know why you shouldn't do that. Fulfilling the scripture that David wrote, he said, they hate wickedness. They love righteousness. And as a resultant effect of the love for God, it results to what? Hating wickedness. I love God so much that I don't think sin. That becomes your confession. I love God so much that sin can never be an option. He said they love righteousness. And as a resultant effect, they hate what? Wickedness. Not divided passion, attention. We love God so much, we can't imagine ourselves in sin. We love God so much. If I figure out this is God's word, I don't have any other option. I stand with the word of God. I stand with the word of God. Against all odds. Are you listening to me? I mean, you're in an office, they said compromise or your job. And you look at them and laugh. They don't know who brought you here. I told you a story on Sunday. A man was sacked. His spiritual father flew to the UK. He went to greet the spiritual father and told him that he was just sacked on Friday and he just came to greet him on Saturday. See, you were sacked? And while he was consoling his spiritual son, while he was consoling him, a word came from heaven. Prophetically, he told his son, I see you getting back to that job in a higher position. And the son was just listening. They told him to pack out and leave. So I don't know what the spiritual father is now saying, blah, blah, blah. Just wondering in his heart. He said, on Monday, dress properly like nothing happened and go back to work. Thus says the Lord. You know, there are two things I learned there. Firstly, there was a miracle. But if that guy was not somebody that obeys the word of the Lord, he would have not listened to his father. That's a difficult place to be. He dressed himself, arranged himself like there was no problem, even though he was struggling to accept it, and went to work on a Monday morning, and his friend told him, you heard about the news? He said, what news? He said, come inside. As they were going to his former seat, he wanted to sit on his former seat. The friend said, that's not your seat anymore. You now rule this. You are the manager of the company. You didn't hear about it? We thought you heard. That's why you came out. I came out to welcome you. I thought you heard the news. He said, what news? He said, on Saturday, the owner of the company flew and came to have an impromptu meeting with us and told us that he was looking for your records, that he's been wondering how excellent you are. And when they brought your record, he now asked of you, they said that you were dismissed. So he now said the person that dismissed you should be fired and you should take the person's place. So he now took the place of his manager. The manager was fired. Meanwhile, people conspired and sacked him. Now see how God works. Eyes have not, ears have not, it has not entered the heart of what God has prepared for what? Those that love him. He dared to obey. See the result and effect. Now he's the manager. Sacked in one day, the next day he's manager. Some people were wondering, does it work like that? It does work. The songwriter said, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he shares on our path. When we do his good will, he abides with us still. Then he says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be in but to. So are you all happy in Jesus? If you are not happy, you are not trusting and you are not obeying. I like those hymns. Not this our song that is only vibes, vibes, vibes. Trust. These are people that sat down and heard God and wrote songs. Trust and obey. There is no other way. Go and look for it elsewhere. You still come back here. So we're going to bring vibes to church. Let's be dancing like they are Charlie Poppy in church. When you are done dancing, your Satan will remind you of your problem. Say, trust the word of, trust God and obey his word. There is no other way to be happy. You can disobey and be happy yet, but finally you'll be sad. Are you listening to me? Learn to follow God to the utmost. Whatever you are looking for anywhere is in God. Calm your mind, calm your mind. Don't be in a rush. Calm down. Blessed Kenneth Hagin speaks about faith and patience. He said they are the two great twins of the Bible. If you are in faith for something in God, you must be patient. God needs patience to work on you. Because a lot of times while you are telling God, give me something, you are not qualified for it. He needs some time to work on you. And one key way God gets you worked upon is by obedience. Did you see that the last way to verify you are a son, Romans 8 and 14, is that you obey. For as many as are what? Led by the Spirit. They are the sons. You can do a lot of things. It doesn't affirm you a son until you are what? Led by the Spirit. Somebody is saying, Pastor, I don't even know when last the Holy Ghost spoke to me. We have not come to your case yet. Are you listening to me? We have not come to your case yet. You must learn to work with the Holy Ghost. I prophesied the word is coming to a point. It will seem like end time. I can sense it so strong. Like the COVID. I can sense it so strong. It will seem like end time. But for those that know their God, it will be a time to laugh and just watch people. Just like in COVID. We were laughing in our bedroom. Some of you bloggers used it to make money that says they cash out. They told you how that some coffins, some graves were opening and the second coming was happening. And that Jesus was coming. Some of you saw Jesus coming in several nations of the world. We were telling you, see, what we are using to fly as pilot is not these things on the internet. We have our map, our compass, scriptures. We don't care what is happening external. We are following Bible prophecy. It is not time yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? It's no time. That's not the prediction of scripture. I am seeing a time where there will be serious darkness upon the face of the earth. It will seem like the earth wants to shut. It will look like an end time event. And darkness, will flock very well. But I tell you, it's the beginning of a great revival. We are not even close to it. I sense it so strong in my spirit. It'll come. And that's when you will know whether you are serving God or not. Because some of you here, your heart will pump. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not prophesying end time. I'm just telling you an event that will surely happen. I can't tell you when, but I'm sensing it. I can smell it. It is very close. Are you listening to me? Daniel said, they that know their God, they shall be strong. They shall do exploits. I'm even sensing that. The Holy Ghost told me, he said, there's a season of famine that will even come. A season of hunger. I can sense it so strong. As I just try to close the prophecy. He said, but it is they that know their God, they shall be strong. They shall be strong. And I'm submitting to you, invest in agriculture. You are not too old, though. You are not too young, sorry. Invest what? Invest in agriculture. Invest. Even this our nation will experience hunger. But all of these things, Satan will start suggesting that the time has come, the end has come, blah, blah, blah has come. It is not anything about the end. It is not anything. Are you listening to me? Like I said in the middle of the teaching when I started, I said, if for instance, some of you, if you are very sensitive, you know this man don't know what he's doing. Can you people sense it? Huh? Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. If you have that, you're this thing, play for me and come and sit down and hear me. Maybe you. Huh? To be very brief, like 6 months, it will touch people. So invest. Buy food and just be storing. I don't know if you've heard anything like this, but me, I'm just saying what my mind is telling me. I've not heard it anywhere. All right, and I wonder whether I'm crazy, but I'm just saying my mind. But you see, the things of the Spirit, Bible days should prove to you that when the prophets prophesy, every time some people laugh, some people joke with it, but their body told them. Let me say in vernacular, body will tell you. Nobody was as strategic as Egypt in those days. Hunger nearly killed other nations, but they prepared. Because they had one man who interpreted the dream. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? As wicked as Pharaoh was, God gave him a dream that there will be hunger. As long as you are in a position of leadership. I wonder if God will give Tinubu, but as wicked as Pharaoh was. Maybe even God has given it, but it just bounced back, you know. Sin did not, as if Sin just bounced back and went back to him. Oh, as it was coming, so the Babala was around. Hallelujah to Jesus. But I sense it so strong. Are we together? And I'm advising you. Today, someone is more of advice. All of you who are not working with God very well, work with God. You are probably 26, 25, 23. A time will call you be 46. And if you are not careful, you'll just be thinking as you are thinking now. Because you don't want to grow. All the boys following you will run away. Some of them would have been married. You still have that tattoo on your body. I'm seeing somebody who in this church that wants to do tattoo, who has even done tattoo on your back. I'm seeing you now. I'm seeing you. I'm seeing you. Oh, you are thinking of a tattoo at your back. If you have done it, go and remove it. Don't be foolish. You will be 46 and regret. You remember what I'm saying today. I can sense it so strong. For 6 years from now, if you are stupid, you will not even come close to me. You will not see me around. You will not even have access to me. It's not pride. So, right now, while you are young, think rightly. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? Think rightly. Do the word of the Lord. I was encouraging a young man one time. He was into gazing and not left. So he keeps on saying, "Sir, anytime I don't have money, that's when they come for me. And they give me money and I go back." And at the point I said, "Don't be stupid. You are getting old. You are getting old and behaving like a child. And look what is happening to you. You don't have money. You can't. If you die of hunger and make heaven is better." You know, some people want us to preach some useless preaching to them. You rather die of hunger, that's what I told him, and go to heaven. Don't look at that part, that destructive part again. What is making you go back there? And the girl is so fine. I can't stop thinking of her. I can't stop thinking of her. A time will come, you'll be very old. You can't move your waist. You can't move your head. Even your hand cannot move. And you have children looking at you. What story will you tell them of your greatness? Are you all listening to me? All of you sitting here, you will be old one day. You will definitely be old one day. Whether you reject it or rebuke it or not, you'll be old one day. You need to go and see your mother's pictures or your father's picture. You'll be so shocked. How handsome. Some of them are more handsome than you. Very cute and very beautiful women or ladies those days, or girls those days. But look at your mother today. She's not ugly, but see her. Let them carry their pictures and show you. You'll be like, "Mommy, is this you?" Be wise. Make hay while the sun is still hot. Are you listening to me? Invest in the things that matter. Prayer and your career. Nothing more, nothing less. Prayer, God, and your word, career. That's what I mean. God and your word, career. That's why don't allow anybody to advise you to leave God to pursue career. They are not wise people. You know, one time I called some of our guys. They were under one mentorship where they are pursuing career. And I said, "Quit from it." Even the person doing you all of those mentorships, where are they today? What are you even pushing? Finally, I was able to learn real estate or learn coding or learn this, and now I've learned 28 programming languages. Let that demon in your village not just wake up in the wrong side of the bed. You carry those your coding language and you code in hell. We're saying the fact. There's so much safety, peace, and security in God. That you are traveling and coming back. You are very sure you are traveling and coming back. Nothing will happen to you. Where will you find that? In God. Only in God. You are living your life haphazardly. Satan can just blow breeze. That's all. He will get you because there's no edge of fire. God protects people with an edge of fire. We saw it in the Bible. Satan told God, "Is it not you that protected your son Job? You created an edge of fire against us around him, and you even covered even his animals." Remember, his children, they'll go for parties and come back, nothing will happen to them because of the edge of fire. Look at it in the Bible. It's there. God can create an edge of fire around you. Hallelujah to Jesus. Even your investment, he can create an edge of fire around you. Check Job. The guy never had a time he walked in disobedience. In fact, before a problem, the Bible said he was so fearful that before a problem, he would go and sacrifice. He would sacrifice beforehand for my children's stupidity. For this, he was always sacrificing. My children's future sin, he would sacrifice. See how he lived his life. Protected. Are you listening to me tonight? Don't joke. You are young. It is good to bear the yoke. The yoke. The yoke of prayer. The yoke of fasting. The yoke of study. Not just the Bible. Your career. While you are young. While you are young. When I was a student. Some of you who knew me in BSU can tell. You can't see me working in BSU until I have lectures. In fact, even my coursemate don't used to see me. Because immediately after the lectures, I'm home. I'm trying to prepare something. Trying to understand the word. Trying to read my books. My coursemate didn't know me till 400 level. Most of them. I can't sit down. I'm not trying to talk to anybody. I can't sit down and be gisting with anybody. And Messi scored. Even this thing you hear me say, it's only in church I say, you will never find me anywhere sitting down saying Ronaldo is better. Do I care? If it's better at all, it's better for his own pocket. But you never find me anywhere sitting and arguing vainless arguments. Oh, I joined somebody to play, to watch movie. Oh, blah, blah, blah. No, there are a lot of things to achieve. I'm not saying there should be no time for you to sit down and enjoy yourself. I mean, fun. You know, you could just sit down and watch some movies. You could do it once in a while. But it should not become the way you do things every day. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So be serious with your lives. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here tonight? For eyes have not... And ease have not, it has not entered into the heart of what God has prepared for you who will what? Love Him. So while you are obeying God's word, on a major part of your heart, have an expectation that you are going to see what eyes have not seen. You're going to hear what? Ease have not heard. It's going to enter the heart of men what God has never done for you who would love Him. So prepare, live your life as if you're going to see yet, almost immediately, what eyes, what is, what has not what. And if you're living like that and thinking like that, you'll not dress shabby, you'll not talk rubbish, you always talk faith. You always talk faith. You don't talk weakness. I am not weak. See, care less about what anybody thinks. You are not weak. It doesn't matter what the whole world has said. Have you ever seen me come to this and saying, I regret teaching this thing? I will never regret teaching it. They are the ones that will turn and come back and say it. I am not weak. I refuse to be weak. There is no weakness in my nature. In the name of Jesus, He has said so that we may what? Boldly say. I can't fail. Failure does not work in me. My hands are blessed. My works are blessed. I am fruitful. I am multiplying in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I boldly declare it. I cannot fail. It's not possible to fail. I can't lack. So are you in lack? You say no. In the name of Jesus. I can never walk in lack. In the name of Jesus. I can never walk in lack. Jesus saw lack. The disciples saw lack. Jesus saw increase. He saw a lot. And he began to thank God. They were wondering, why is he thanking God while he's eating Gary? He's not seeing Gary. He's seen a lot of rice, a lot of beans. That's why while he's seeing Gary yet, he can thank God. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you. In smallness, he's thanking God for bigness. Because his eyes are set on Jesus. The Bible says, when your eyes are single, your whole body is flooded with light. You can't help it. Your body reaction shows your faith. You see, that's what I call the faith vibes. When you see the person in lack, acting like he's lacking, he's not in faith. You are acting like your problem. No. Act like what God has said about you. And if you're acting like that, we can tell this guy is in faith. The Bible says, Abraham rejoiced to see my days, and he saw He rejoiced to see. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For the joy of the Lord, don't miss these small, small things. Oh, you think they are small. They are the determining factors in the realm of the Spirit. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, I draw from the wells of salvation with the strength of the Lord, which is joy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You start finding reasons to be excited. Get excited and start confessing. See, when you start confessing, you are drawing. You are drawing. At a point, if you pray with joy, you see you get to a point, you almost are drunk in the Spirit. You see yourself saying things, unbelievable things. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for the house. It is finished. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for this. It is done. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for that. It is done. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, why is this guy talking like everything is figured out already? It is figured out already. Are you listening to me? It is figured out already. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. For I can never walk in lack. I live above only, never be net. Oh, never be net. Oh, never be net. I can never walk in failure. I can never walk in fear. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. No, I can never be defeated. Satan paints the picture in your eyes. No. I can never be defeated. I can never. You are bringing every thought to the obedience of the Christ. You are subjecting every wrong imaginations. You say, this is the last time I'm going to ever live in that addiction. Satan reminds you, you said it the last 2 years. It didn't happen. Say, now, charging. I'm saying it. It's not by charging. Let your, you know, faith is a substance of things, hope for the evidence of things not seen. What is your essence of faith? What is your substance of faith? It has to be revelation, the word of God. You're not just being optimistic. You got to be standing on the rock so that when the flood of life comes to try your faith, it will not prevail. Do you understand? You're not just being optimistic. Okay, I know what Jesus has done for me. He took off my old nature and hung it back to the tree. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When I died with him, I was free from sin. Romans 6, 7. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now sin cannot have dominion over me. Now this is a determining factor. Because I am not under the law. Because the law did not come to stop sin. It came to show people how sinful they are. Sin shall not have dominion over me because I am not under the law. I am under grace. And I just spoke a few grace. The old nature removed. No matter how you pray tongues of fire, if you don't know the old nature is gone, you just be calling fire to burn you every day. And if that fire mistakenly burn you, you'll be burned into ashes. Let the fire of purity come. It's not fire of purity. It is what Jesus have done that will remove sin. That's why the fire, I don't know whether we have exhausted that fire, but do you know this? That fire never existed. So I don't know which fire you are calling. And you can predict, you can tell. That's why the sin is still there. In fact, it seems the sin is more strong when the fire of purity touches the body. We do things anyhow, haphazardly in the realm of. We don't think it should work. Do you get what I'm trying to say? If I pray in tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I am what? You got to know God. There's a more excellent way. Know God. Love. Know God. You may be dwelling in the realm of gifting. The Bible said, covet the best gifts. If you see anyone you like, covet it. Meanwhile, he said, I show you a more excellent way. There's a way things should be. Seek fullness. Seek fullness. And fullness is in Christ. You are complete in not lacking. You are complete in not lacking. You are complete in not lacking. Now, I lack nothing. That's your confession. Don't allow Satan to get you confused in the morning. It makes you remember your problem. You dreamt that you died. So you stand up and you are crying. You are sick. You now dreamt you died. And so what? It was only a dream. It went there. The Bible did not say, as a man dreameth in the night, so is he. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart. Satan gave you a dream to put a thought in your heart. To plant the wrong seed in your heart. And if you keep on watering that seed through worry, you are finished. It will grow and affect the harvest of the seed of God's word. You see that? It will grow thorns and choke the word. The word will now not grow. But no, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to worry. I refuse to worry. In the greatest crisis of your life, worrying will not solve it. So don't worry. Do not worry about anything, but pray about everything. It is prayer that can change it, not worry. And not just prayer, the right way of praying. Are you listening to me? So how did we leave the nature and the acts of sin? By leaving the old nature back to the tree. The old nature has been destroyed. In the NLT's rendition in verse 6 of Romans 6, I guess, it says, reckon yourself, the Amplified rendition. The NLT says, see yourself as one that is what? Let's see together. We know that our old self, our human nature without the Holy Spirit was nailed with him in order that the body of sin might be done. Give me verse 5. Is it verse 5? Verse 5. Let me see verse 5. All right. Give me the NLT's rendition. Give me verse 4. I'm looking for a word. The part that says, reckon yourself. Verse 9. Let's see verse 9. Verse 11. Okay, verse 11. It is like training vectors so that the next time people talk, you know which voice to hear. Alright. So let's read together. One to go. So you should reconsider yourselves to be what? And what? True what? You're not reading it like you have faith. Maybe you are reading it like this because you want to go back and still continue the sin. Are you ready to leave that sin? Hey, talk to me. Are you ready to leave that sin? I'll pursue you from this church if you are tall. Are you ready to leave that sin? Some of you don't want changes, and you must change. So let's read together. One to read. Consider yourselves. Meaning, wake up in the morning and say, who are you? I'm dead to sin. And alive unto God through Christ Jesus. Who are you, brother? I'm dead to sin. Who are you? I am dead to sin. And I'm alive in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is like you having some grace, knowing some grace. Now, 6 says, the old nature hung back to the tree. 7 says, if you are dead, you are free from sin. You see? 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from law of sin and death. And these are the laws. These are truths in Christ, laws. 3 said, what the law could not do in that it was weak because of sin Jesus did. That's Romans 8:3. He defeated sin, even sin in the body. You see that? 5 said, but if you set your mind on the things of the flesh, you end up in the flesh. If you set your mind on the things of the spirit, you end up in the spirit. Now 6 says to be carnally minded is death. But to be what? Spiritually minded is what? That's why verse 6 and 11 of Romans says, reckon yourself, consider yourself. So see yourself as one that is dead to sin. Because if you see yourself as carnal, you will die. But if you see yourself as one that is dead to sin and alive unto righteousness, you will live forever. You will live forever. You see that? Glory to God. I'm alive in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. This is not weak teaching. Because many people see great teaching as our great father of faith have done great things. What are you doing? Blah, 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 blah. Let's begin to bring the revival and bring the mantles. Listen, you're going to be pushing mantles with a porn spirit if you don't know what Jesus has done for you. Meet some of these young people who are pushing mantles. They are suffering from addictions. They don't know what Jesus has done for them. Because if they even know, they will not be pursuing mantles in the first place. Nobody who knows Jesus is pursuing mantles. What are you looking for mantles for? The end of every pursuit is Jesus. And now that you have Jesus, what are you looking for? Our fathers of faith were running somewhere. The beginning line for them was not Moses, it was Jesus. He's the beginning line of this journey. He's the ending line of this journey. So somewhere in between the line, they stopped and died. And they are not saying, come and stop where I am. The young generation think when we collect a mantle, then is the end of our fate. I have the mantle of so-and-so. No. Run to Jesus. Pass where the mantle stopped and keep on running. He is the what? Author and what? Finisher of what? Our faith. Are you seeing that now? That's what will make you a powerful Christian. Faith does not come by hearing stories of fathers of faith. Faith comes by hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. And salvation is a whole. God works on you from the beginning to the end. Wholly. You can't just be having faith for miracles and you don't have good character. That's why you got to seek Christ. He's God's wisdom and power. When you know Christ, you are polished properly as a Christian. You have the wisdom of the Spirit of God and you have power at work at the same time. Why do you think people cannot put us down? You know, some people, if they see me sitting like this, they'll be wondering if we have the power of God on our inside. But I can sit like this and flow as the Holy Ghost wants me to flow. I will never be his hindrance. He will stop when he wants to stop. No pride. Because the things of the Spirit are not things we attain. We don't attain it haphazardly. You just do things anyhow and see it manifest. No. There's a right way for things to be done in the realm of the Spirit. If one desires mastery yet no crown, he strives how? Lawfully. You don't do things anyhow in the realm of the Spirit and expect results. Like I said in the middle of the teaching, the effectual heartfelt is not heartfelt effectual. Let the prayer not be touching your heart if you are not saying the right thing. It doesn't matter whether you are shouting or hitting your head on the iron. If what you are saying is not scripturally aligned, it is called what? Clanging cymbal. Bang, 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 bang. That's what you are doing. If we are seated here now and somebody begins to hit this place, bang, 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 will we not tell the person to stop? Who tell the person to stop? That's why many Christians are giving up on their faith. They came to church, they were taught a lot of religious things. They have Christians' name, but I tell you, they are in church eyeing the life of a clubber. They are in church eyeing the life of a stripper. Because they are not on Christ. They are just, their life is predicated upon religious beliefs, routines. They don't know Christ. They don't know Christ. Jesus said in John 10:28, he said, I will give them eternal life and no man will steal them from my hands. Meaning when you know eternal life, you are in God's hands. Not in your pastor's hands. In God's hands. That is why, I don't have that time to follow you to your house to be knowing what you are doing. All I need to do is to implicate your life by teaching you eternal life. You go back home and be crying and serving this God healingly. Are you all listening to me tonight? So go back home and dare to become genuine Christians, because eyes have not, ears have not, it has not entered the heart of what? Where you are, you don't even have a clue of what God wants to do with your life yet in terms of financial prosperity. Don't allow this level to deceive you. Are you listening to me? Do your work for your boss very well. If you are the boss, do your work very well. But meanwhile, have time for God. It's a shame if you don't pray every day. It's a shame. I'll repeat it a billion times. It's a shame to you as a child of God if you don't pray every day. It's terrible. How did we get here? Are you listening to me? You must have time. You must jealously guide that time. I remember years ago as a student, there's this wonderful person that I used to disciple that time. He used to come around. Charles. Was Charles? Maybe he's even watching. I don't know. Years ago, I remember he came to my house one day and he was knocking the door and I was praying. And my pain was that he heard me praying, but he was knocking the door. We discussed about it, so it's not a bad thing. If he sees it now, he'll be laughing. And I did not answer. I kept on praying. He stayed there for over 1 hour plus. I was still praying. Then one of my boys came and said, "Sir, you are looking for Pastor Simon. Did you hear his voice? He's praying. Even if heaven," I heard him as he was telling it, "see, even if heaven comes down, he will not open this door today till he's done praying. And in fact, for knocking while he's praying, I think he will punish you." Now, they already know my character. As long as I was praying, if Tinubu sends you with 2 billion, keep it to yourself. Some people say, "Ah, Pastor, you are lying. If I just say, Pastor, there's 2 billion for you. Close the prayer now. Come and collect it. You come, Pastor. Don't worry me, Pastor. But maybe you tried. And thank God I'm not the first. I had a testimony of a man of God. They said a governor came to visit him. And as the governor came to visit him, I'm hearing some reaction there. It seems he's not getting me. Hallelujah to Jesus. The governor came to visit him, and he didn't care about anything the governor was going to say. Are you listening to me? He didn't care about it. He just continued praying. They said they came to him. They dropped a note. They dropped the note that the governor was looking for him. He even punished the person that dropped the note. He said, other people come to look for me. You don't drop notes. The governor came. He came and dropped note. What's the difference between that governor and other people? But he said, it's because he's the governor. He said, what is the difference? He said, for doing so, I'll punish you. The governor got offended and left. He did not call the governor. He did not say anything. The governor called after 1 week and said, well, when will Pastor have time? When will he not be praying? I want to come again. He now came. And they say it was the governor that was giving the testimony. So now see, did he lose anything while he was praying? When I heard the testimony, I was so excited. It reminded me of Elisha. A big man. Naaman. A big man. A military general. He came to see Elisha. Elisha was praying or something. Right? And Gehazi, right? Told him to wait. Gehazi came, of course. You can tell the kind of person Gehazi was. If he saw a big man, he would like to go and call Elisha sharp, sharp, so that there would be food to eat. Remember, even when they say he should not collect honorarium, he collected. You know? He rushed and called his master. The master told him to tell him he will not see him, that he should just go and dip himself in the river 7 times, a particular river 7 times, and go. I mean, the prophet said, I will not see him. Let him dip himself. When he's done, he should go. He will be healed. What? That's what the Lord said. You know, sometimes when men of God behave in a certain way, they are being spirit-led. And a lot of times, it is because of what God wants to do in the heart of that person that they are dealing with. I don't know that you heard what I just said. Because God wants to teach that person a lesson. He had pride. So God inspired Elijah not to answer him. And he was pompous. He said he was going back. I'm going back. I'm going back. Then the servant, good servant, he said, if you go back, you are still sick. It's only your pride you take back home. The sickness is still. He said, he could not even come out to see me. Does he? He doesn't know that I'm the one. He could even come out to see me. Let him keep his healing. Let him keep his healing, sir. Are you sure you are sure? Is this your final answer? He said, sir, see, you will not lose anything if you enter. Perhaps if it works now, it is good for you. Just enter the water. He said, not even a good water. This river, this dirty river. Me. He said, oh God, is it river that is good you are looking for? Or healing? And he entered. 7 times. What happened was not just healing. God broke his pride there. So that he can receive what is healing. I think I gave a prophetic word to someone not too long like that. A lot of times, for some people who don't see themselves healed, I tell you, they have personal issues with God. God is dealing with them personally. Sometimes Ben Him have said that Ketrin Kuhlman said when she finished healing meetings, she will be crying on the ground because some people are not healed. So she'll be crying to God to heal them. When she's done crying, God will still not heal them. So she's wondering why it's like that. Hallelujah to Jesus. Ben Him said that too. Smith Wigglesworth said that too in his story. Some great generals of faith, T.L. Osborne, said that too. A few times. He has seen people like that. They will cry. Nothing will happen to them. Those people have personal dealings with God. Are you listening to me? There was one time I prayed for somebody who they say was deaf here. And the guy did not receive his healing. So it baffled me. That's when I started healing school. So I now asked the person that brought him, I said, just funny question, why is this guy not receiving his healing? As if it's their own answer to give. Very funny question. Imagine I answered that question. You brought somebody and I'm asking, why is the person not receiving his healing? I didn't ask myself, why am I not able to heal the person? You know what they told me? They said, the guy said he does not believe in God. He does not believe God exists. If God exists in the first place, why is it? And why is he deaf? Now he just came to just see what I can do. And I said to her, it's not serious yet. They should take him through healing school and be talking to him like this. We will pay if he's ready. I'll bring somebody who talks. Let them teach him. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? But that state of mind cannot receive healing. So we say, but pastor, sometimes people don't really believe in God and God heals them. He said, I will have mercy on whom I want to ward. We can't predict that kind of thing. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? We can stretch our hands and God heals anybody for his own glory based on his dealing with those people. But for some that he wants them to break from a wrong character before receiving a healing, they will truly not receive it until he deals with that wrong character in their life. Because if he leaves them to receive the healing, in fact, they will go and get a bigger sickness. Perhaps now they just have ulcer. The next one is HIV and AIDS. You know, I told a lady years ago, I asked her a simple question. She was suffering from a very serious ailment. And it was healing small, but not yet gone. So one day I was talking to the lady. I'd seen traces of a crazy lady. You know when you can tell somebody is crazy upstairs? If this one was healed, she would have been a party girl, something like that. I could just see the traces on her. Not like she showed it, but you can tell. You can just tell. So one day I asked her a question. I said, what if you are not so, if this thing was not wrong with you, what kind of a person do you think you will be? Do you know she just thought about it and started laughing? In her sickness, she started laughing. Hey, she started doing, hey. I've not really thought of that, you know. But God, I don't think it would have been nice. I think I'd have been a party, you know, kind of. I just say, oh, I thought as much. So I said, you see, if you want this your healing to happen very fast, love God very well. Love him for who he is, not for what he should do in your life now. You know, some people think they love God until they receive that job of 250. You see how small and stupid they are. How small and stupid they are. You will know that they were not qualified. It's just God that had mercy on whom he wanted to have mercy. I tell you the truth. Are you listening to me tonight? Love God for who he is. And how will you grow to love God for who he is? Spend time in his presence. Know the word. If you spend time in his presence, you know the word. Because I can't say know the word. How did I know the word? I was spending time in the presence of God. I was praying. The song I was even singing was not even aligning very well. I remember the song that made me... Okay, no. I think I sang a nice song, kind of. The song that I used to encounter God was, I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you, Lord. I sang the song crying. I can never forget that day. In the night, while I was tired of my life as a Christian, I wanted genuine fellowship. That's why my pastor friends, they know me. They said nobody takes Pastor Simon outside of his belief. I did not become a Christian to believe nonsense. I know who I used to be. I can't come and become a Christian because I want to be friends with a particular clique of pastors. No. I don't have clique. I've announced it several times. My clique will meet, all of us that are clique will meet at the center. Jesus. That's where we'll meet. Are we together? We will meet at Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? If you are part of my clique, we'll meet there. He's the unity of the faith. The determining factor for the unity of the faith. Glory to God forevermore. Are you listening to me tonight? So powerful Christians are not noisy Christians. Stay in the presence of God. You will know the word of God. Follow the word of God. If you desire mastery, yet not strive how? Follow the word. Your conversation, as you are talking, I remember I was listening to Pastor Bill. Is it Bill Clinton? The one that teaches on faith very well. He was talking about his friendship with Kenneth Copeland. So he said, anytime he's talking with Kenneth Copeland, he gets corrected over 20 to 30 times when he started talking the first time. Now, while he's talking, Kerekopla will say, no, don't say you don't have. Say you have, but it has not manifested yet. They are saying another thing, Kerekopla will say, stop. So, Kerekopla was not even correcting the English. It was the revelation. You know, he wants him to put the words the right way. So, he said a lot of times he will just send text message to avoid conversation. Because, you know, if they are talking, they'll correct his discussion, his words. See, if you say it like that, how will God do it? No, it's a wrong way to say it. Say it like this, till he mastered it. And after a while, Kerekopla started inviting him for his faith conference too. You see that? But they corrected him, debunked, edited. That's how it is for a Christian. Whatever is good, put it inside your heart. Whatever is bad, remove it. And you see, the wonderful thing with us as Christians is that you cannot remove something. You put something to replace something. You remove what is bad by putting something to subdue it. Do you get what I'm trying to say? The Bible says, bring in every wrong thought to the obedience of Christ. So what you do is that you subject every wrong thought by the knowledge of Christ. If Satan has done something wrong in your heart, some say they have trauma. When I was 9 years old, my uncle slept with me, so the thought has been in my head. You know, a lot of times I've heard those stories. I really, if we say we don't sympathize with you, we'll seem like stupid pastors. I really sympathize with you, but get off it immediately. All right? If you know the word of God and you are somebody that always say, when I was 9 years old, my uncle slept with me, that's why I have a trauma. I hate men. I don't like this. I don't like that. You don't want help. You want to be pitied. Because if you have heard the word of God, what are you saying? Okay, your uncle is so you are in trauma and he's dead. I can't forgive him. Go and die with him if that's what you want. But if you want to be serious with your life, wake up from that slumber. Are you listening to me? It may shock you that your uncle is in heaven. You see, they are shocked. If he repented, where is he? In purgatory. Where is he? In heaven. Because he repented. For the record, I don't believe in purgatory. I was just joking with it. Hallelujah to Jesus. You can't tell God who to forgive and who not to forgive. Pastor Apostle Kola those days told us that, see, the things of God, they work so fast in the realm of the spirit. Before you know, in a twinkle of an eye. So he said to us, if somebody offend you, forgive him very fast, because maybe God has forgiven him. We were very shocked that day. He said, if somebody offends you, forgive him very fast, because the next moment you don't know that God has forgiven him. A few of them may come and tell you we are sorry. A few of them will just start acting nice. They want you to just catch that they are sorry. And some of you are part of those second people. You never say I'm sorry, you just start acting nice. In a I'm sorry way. You say I'm sorry for what I did. You just like, will you care for burger? I want to buy for you. And if you eat the burger, their sins are forgiven truly. You see. Hallelujah to Jesus. So learn to forgive people, forgive yourself very fast. Are you listening to me? So I know what I've done. I've done something. I don't think God can ever forgive. What have you done? I've committed abortion 7 times. Hey! Jesus! I've taken 7 babies out of this world. Okay, go and bring them back. And anytime they are preaching the word and singing worship, you are crying. Instead of people are making progress with their life, you are crying. Let's imagine a song. The song those kind of people like, emotional people, they like these songs like pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. Is there humble cry? Proud cry is humble cry should be religion is such a disgrace. Humble cry. Which one is humble cry? Not that you are even crying. You are not even crying. So which one do you want God to hear? Just a humble song. Savior, 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 hear my humble cry. Hear my humble cry. Do not pass. Firstly, who told you he will pass you by? Your sin consciousness. You thought you have done something that is a reason enough to be passed by. You see that? You know, you turn God into a passerby. He has not passed you by. He said, I will never word. So he never went anywhere to pass you by. He has always been with you. Are you listening to me? It's religious kind of songs from religious revelations. There are things I don't like to do, but I find myself doing them. Some people are already doing like this. Do you remember this song? Well, I find myself doing. Oh, help me, God. Help me, God. Help me, God. Hold my hands and lift me high. Oh, God. Firstly, Paul never said that was a revelation. Paul was telling us a story. Context, I speak to them that live by the law. And if you are living by that, this is the resultant effect. The law is good, but its act is what? But the person that is obeying the law, is supposed to obey the law, is a bad person. He said, I am sold under the nature of sin and death, but the laws are the ways of a spiritual man. He then said, that is why the things, he was explaining something. It's not a revelation. He was explaining the situation of the Jewish people. He said, that is why the things they don't like to do, they found themselves what? Doing them. Paul was not even speaking to us generally as Christians, but it can affect us. If you try to live by the law, you have the same result. The things you don't want to do, you'll find yourself doing. But if you live by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. But these spiritual things now, we don't like them. Hey, you are like Christ. Really? Prove it. You've been born again by the incorruptible seed of God's word. Spirit give birth to spirit. So me now, as I get two hands, I they eat food. Apple, you call me spirit. Brother, I know they lie for me. I'm not a spirit. In your mind, spirits are ghosts. No. When Jesus resurrected, he is the real-time spirit. The true picture of a Christian. Are you listening to me? He's a prototype of who a Christian should be. The miniature. Not miniature, my cocos, we are all wrong. He is the microcosm, not miniature. Remove the word miniature. He is the ideal idea of who a Christian should be. The portrait and the only model for who a child of God should be. And that's why the Bible says, know not Jesus in the flesh, but Jesus in the spirit. And that Jesus in the spirit ate fish. See that? When he resurrected, he said, give me something to eat. Let's not argue. Let's eat something. So that you will know it's still me. When they brought food, he now asked them, do spirit eat? Look at me, I ate. Sorry, do that ghost idea you have. Do they eat? They just come and stand like this. And they move. I don't know how Nolly would know that they always have white in their face. He said, but look at me, I'm eating. Then he said, you are not going to, you don't be scared until the day of my coming, because as I am, so are you. As I am, as he is, present continuous, so are we in this present world. So we have resurrected. If the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what has that spirit done? You are taking the word of God so casually. I'll drive all of you from this church. I say, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead, that same spirit that raised Jesus' mortality and made him immortal from the dead, if it dwells in you, what has it done to you? The same effect on Jesus' body is on your body. He has quickened your mortal body. On the strength of this, you are debtors. Debtors not to walk in the flesh again because you will die, but debtors to by the spirit mortify. No, I can't even see an eye there. I can't imagine myself in sin. That's how the child of God speaks. For God is a light so shining, and in him there is no trace, no variable of turning away. It's not possible to be caught up in this light and turn towards darkness any longer. It's not possible. I'm captured in life, captured in glory, caught up in the glory, caught up in light. I don't think darkness. My path and my word is full of light alone. I can't imagine Satan in my world. He's working in the children of the disobedience, and I'm casting him out of their lives, and I'm winning their souls to the kingdom. But he can't walk around me. He can't come nigh me. That is why when people threaten me, 1,000 by my left, 10,000, I'm not moved. Why? I'm in light. Glory to God. God, who is immortal, the Bible says, dwelling in an unapproachable light. And what the Bible says, I am seated at the Father's right hand. You know what that means? When they say he is my right hand, that simply means when I'm not around, he's the one in charge. He's the one that makes decisions for me. We are the one representing God upon the face of the earth. We are seated together with him. Where he is, in an unapproachable light, that's where we are. So imagine demons come near you. How did they come? Because you are not informed. You don't know who you are. That's why they came near you. You don't know who you are. That's why they came near you. I know who I am. I dwell with God in an unapproachable light. And I have a clue that I'm capacitated to dwell there, because if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me, my body is not mortal. It is immortal. My nature is immortal. And I dwell with God who is immortal in what? An unapproachable light. Listen, don't think yourself too small. You didn't grow in away street to be called an away street person or a Makodi person and etc. You are a child of the living God. Before he formed you in your mom's womb, he knew you. You are his child. Are you listening to me? You are just discovering this new real life of yours. Your real life. This is it. No, I can't go back to smoking. I can't. I refuse to smoke. In the name of Jesus. I can't smoke again. In the name of Jesus. No. I'm a new man in Christ. Glory to God. Now, when I go back home, I don't go back to my phone and try to go back to those porn sites any longer. Go back to that addiction any longer. Now, it will come pressing, but no, I'm on the rock. I have what it takes to stand any pressure. I have what it takes. So I don't care about the pressure. I'm conscious of where I'm staying. Where I am is stronger and more powerful. And if I dwell on where I am enough, if my heart is there enough, I will not even feel any pressure from any side. Because the Bible said, they that trust in the Lord, they shall be as trees planted by the riverside. He said, when heat comes, they don't even feel it. When heat comes, they can't even feel it. I'm so caught up in light. If your eyes be single, your whole body be flooded with light. Now, but if your heart is divided, you can't receive anything from the Lord. You can't be thinking if you are qualified, capacitated, and whether you are not. No, I'm qualified alone. I'm not unqualified. Are you listening to me? I'm God's righteousness. I am perfect in Christ Jesus. I'm complete in Christ, not lacking anything. In the name of Jesus, my sins are forgiven, and I'm bearing the divine nature of God. I've escaped the corruption that is in the world through loss. I have no probability of fading away. I'm caught up in God, who is a light so shining. In him, there's no trace of backsliding. In the name of Jesus, I can never backslide in my life, because I'm caught up in the glory of God. In the name of, it's not pride. You are confessing the word. You must say these big things, that eyes have not, ears have not, what has not entered into the heart of man. They sing and say nobody is perfect, and Christians are saying we are not perfect. No, we are. We are perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Paul said we are like aliens upon the face of the earth. They've not seen our times. They've not seen it before. And if you see yourself enough like this, you see the consequences around you. Things around you get alive. Don't be a religious activist. A mental assenter. You know who religious people are? They talk, they like to give out more than they receive. They like to preach more than they pray. You get what I'm trying to say? You have no point to prove to anybody. Pray in the spirit. True spiritual people, they love to hide. They don't even like to show themselves. They do the things that matter. If you find out you like to post more than you like to win souls, you just like shows. The one that counts is winning souls. Because the preaching is for souls. It is good to post. But if you're posting, if you only stop at posting, you're wrong. You can go out there, talk to people about Jesus. No wonder the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. They are as bright as the stars of heaven. You see that? You go out there, out of your way, you're winning souls. prove your call, do the work of an evangelist. Is it because if I truly know that this kingdom is working for me, if I truly know I'm a child of God, I want everybody to be part of this kingdom. That's why the proof that you are a Christian is that you do the work of an evangelist. So when they say, bring 50 people a month, they have not started. If you know what you are doing, you go beyond your HOD. What is 50 people? In your heart, that is the result for one person. I'm not telling you what I did not do. My spiritual father told me that what you sow, Simon, you will reap. What you have sown, he said, you will reap. Those days, I almost feel the whole church, only me. You ask over 20 people, 30 people, they will tell you, Pastor Simon invited me. Pastor Simon invited me. Pastor Simon invited me. It was burning in my heart. It was not my ministry. I couldn't help it. I'll wake up, when I eat, I'm studying the Bible, I'll just come out on the street and I'm preaching. To those I know, some of them are my friends. Pastor Simon, what are you doing? When did this start? Some of them will laugh. I'll go to others that are not laughing. I will just be preaching. There were days I preached to a point, God will use my spirit to be preaching to people. I don't know if I shared it here. I was praying in my room, and I was preaching to, I've forgotten his name. I'm trying to remember his name. Holy Spirit. Tall, dark boy. He's in the military now. Is it Natty they call him or something like that? Something Natty, El Natty, something like that. In the back. Tall, dark guy. So, I've always been talking to him about Jesus, but he's always acting a little bit unserious. And I always tell him, I just have this special interest. He's a very calm boy, but he wants to start following bad boys to smoke and all that. So I always advise him, and sometimes he wouldn't listen. Sometimes he would claim he's not doing anything bad. And one of these days, while I was praying, he was trying to come to my house when I was going to buy corn. I used to like roasted corn very well in the evening. So when I was done, I wanted to break my fast with roasted corn. So I drank water. I was going to buy. And he rushed me. Pastor Simon. I said, is everything okay? He says, sir, you just finished talking to me in my room. That's why I'm running to your house. I said, how did I talk to you in your room? I just finished praying in my room. I did not come to your house. Maybe you are dreaming. I'm not dreaming. In fact, I don't know what is wrong with me. But you were telling me while I was watching TV that I should repent. I want to repent. Are you sure you saw me? Sir, this is what you were wearing exactly like this, sir. And this is how this guy received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. True life story. No lies. He received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah to Jesus. So, serving the Lord matters. When I see how Satan deceives people, I just shake my head. It's painful. But as your pastor, I wouldn't allow that to happen. I'll let you know. Well done, faithful and wonderful servant is bigger than anything in this world. Well done. Faithful. Sometimes the way people you look up to are behaving, you'll be looking down on these things. They are very, very wonderful. Some of them don't even care about salvation anymore. They don't even care about doing the will of God anymore. They want to blow. You hear things like the day I will blow. I was talking with, was it you or some of the leaders? I said I found out, it happens more with the music ministers. I found out most of the MDs that left their local church in this Makodi, they are worse, 20 times worse than they used to be when they were in their local church. The ones that are wise, they stood there, they did not go anywhere. They are still relevant today. The ones that left because they felt they were irrelevant, the relevance they received from their local church, they went out there, people welcomed them. They've been left alone. They should go and check the people that took over from them from their local church. They are 10 times better. It's Satan that deceives you. You've received popularity. Now everybody is your pastor. You are sent to the body of Christ. It's a dangerous place to be. As long as you are a Christian, you must have a pastor. Never appear before God without a pastor. Let him ask you, who is your pastor? I say, sir, there were a lot of things on the earth. I couldn't be under anybody. And make sure your excuse was very genuine. Very genuine excuse. They say, why did you leave the church? Sir, they were talking against me and I left the church. They were talking against me. You can stand before God and say that. Sir, I didn't like the way my HOD shouted for me one day I came late. I forgot to tell him. Jesus, I forgot to tell him. And he shouted for me, and I was disgraced. So I told them I would never call. I said, that's why you left? That's why you changed the church? Yes, Lord. How many times have you misbehaved? Or countless times, sir. Did I leave you? No, Lord. But imagine this thing. Sometimes I imagine that if you see me just sit down sometimes, I'll be laughing. I used to imagine conversations like this. That you stand before God, and the reason why you are annoyed is because somebody spoke to you harshly in church. Say, in that church, they speak to people harshly. See the wickedness. One person spoke to you harshly. Now you say, in that church, they speak to people harshly. And you are spreading the rumor everywhere. When you are done, you now pray in tongues. Kedua, keu, shaka, ka, ka, ka. And when you are done, they speak to people rudely in that church. Anytime you visit any church and you hear it will be better for your stone to be tied on your stomach and that you are thrown into the river, just know you are the one that they are talking about. People don't like truth. You have to be telling them truth. They will come to church and say, I come to that church. I don't like how things they happen. Those two people, I see them, they date. Why? Why did they date for church? Now, pastor never affirmed dating. They were actually stupid for dating if they were not supposed to date. Right? But is that a reason to leave church? I thought there were more than that when I came to the church. You thought there were more than that. But when you came, you spoiled everything. Because look at how you are when you came. So if we're perfect as a church, you made it imperfect. You know, the church, I believe, is supposed to perfect people, but they are imperfect people yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They're imperfect people. That's why we are perfecting the saints. There are saints that need to be perfected. They are your brothers and sisters in Christ. Saints that need what? Perfection. So why did you stop talking with your friend? The other person, he has pride too much. That's why I stopped talking to him. You are the judge of all. You are the judge of all. Now, the pride, has he shown it towards you? No. When he talks, he speaks with so much pomposity. So I don't just like being around people like that. Listen, you are a loser. If you are such a person that when you see another person, he's speaking, he did not show it to you, he just speaks. You need that thing the guy has or the lady has. That's what we call boldness. That's why you are losing. If you look at that person, they have more opportunities than you. You go everywhere as a Christian. You are the darkness of the world. You just hide somewhere. You think you are humble. They ask you a question. You are just looking with the love of Christ. In Jesus' name, a noun is the name of a person, animal, place, or thing in the name of Jesus. Amen. By the grace of God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Then they called the other brother. What is a noun? A noun is the name of a person, animal, place, or things. Example of nouns. Yes, added. So, okay, you have the job. Even them, they can't help it. They have to give this guy the job. You don't have the job. They say define noun. You are explaining scripture. You are trying to look humble before men. You stand like this. When they say the righteous is as bold as a lion, some of you used to think they mean the righteous are like this. You think Jesus didn't know what he was saying when he said, I've not given the spirit to fear again? But the spirit of what? Sophronismos. Sound like a baby. Have you seen how baby jump? Playing, they don't have any problem. Sound mind, free mind. Sound mind, power and love. So I stopped talking with Moses because Moses has some problem like that. It took a show. Anytime I'm around him, he's used to break revelation. Like me, I don't know Bible. So me, I avoid people like that. Or I don't like people like that. Really? You hear useless reasons why people stop being friends. You are still a child. Ask your father. Why his friends will have problem with him, they are still friends. It comes to a point that your mother too will not be losing friends. She was losing when she was a child though. Now that she has grown up, her and mama uncles will have serious problems. They'll just hide and talk to you, but they are still friends. When you are a child, you just be misbehaving. Be thinking like a child. When you grow up, what do you do? Leave childish ways. Say, I'm not talking with this brother so-so in church. I'm not talking with sister so-so in church. You are not talking with them. Why? And the other day, I asked her for 200. I know she has. She told me she does not have. Then later on, I saw her giving her friend 500. So me, I know if you be friends with those kind of people, hypocrites in church. Firstly, you don't have money. You went to beg. The owner of the money said, I will not give you. It became a problem. Secondly, perhaps this is not your first time begging. They've been giving you. If they follow your character, they are supposed to have a problem with you. You never used to give back. Some of you sitting under the sound of my voice, you are owing people a lot of 200. It has reached 5,000 now. They don't give back. They just use Jesus' joy to cover for the money. When they smile and play, the money goes. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Paul said to the Corinthian church, do you know the Corinthian church were a very spiritual church? Gift of the Spirit manifested so hard. Yet they were very, very carnal. As long as 1 Corinthians 3, as long as there's backbiting and envy amongst you people, are you people not what? Children? Children? Are you listening to me? So don't just sit down in church and be hating yourselves. Pastor, why is speaking this topic? I really don't know, but I know it's for somebody. I know it's for you. Are you listening to me? Don't say, you know, I told you a story of Dr. Caris. It's a true life story, so even if he sees it, he will not be angry. He said it years ago, that he had this friend, a doctor. God bless the doctor. And one time, he was talking to the doctor, and they went for shopping or something, and the doctor said something about, no, he was just in the doctor about his salary or something. When he told the doctor said, you remind me of something. He said, what's that? He said, my wife's shoe I bought last week. He said, how? He said, the salary you called just reminded me of the shoe I got for her. I said a few things. Dr. Kari said, I had two options, to be angry or to be stretched. He said, but I chose the second option. I allowed the guy to stretch me instead of to make me angry. So at the end of the meeting, we became friends. We didn't become enemies. I went back home, remembered every word he said. His wife's shoe, my salary. This, that. And he made up his mind, I will never be broke in my life. He received the stretching. Allow some friend to what? Some friend, the way you see them, their brain is like computer brain. Allow them to stretch you. Don't get intimidated. Now, wow, now everything this boy know, everything they talk is sabi. I hate people with sabi over sabi, and I hate them. Over sabi people, I hate them, I hate them with passion. Instead of you wondering at the gift of God, how amazing. Anything they tell this girl to do, this guy to do, he always have an idea. You give him some time, he's doing it well. She's doing it well. Wow. So there's such a possibility in God. This my brain, maybe stone, not brain, or not brain too. That brain working in him lives in me. Same brain working in him lives in me. What do you do? In the name of Jesus, I covet. If you are humble enough, you now go and ask the question, sister this, brother this, why is it that everything you do, everything you start, you do? How do you know all these things? I'm amazed. So then, of course, sometimes they may not ask in a, they may not even answer in a humble way. Everything is easy now. You just put your mind to it. Just know it's sharp, sharp. There's nothing hard in life. Some people are just lazy. Don't feel mad though. Some people say, I haven't asked him because they act in a pompous as if I've been one small picking. That guy is an idiot too. Then if you are lucky, a few of them may say, oh well, see, it's not my own making, it's God. There are very few. Very few of them. is God Almighty. Well, you see, this is it. If you just put your mind to something and you just become be consistent for a while, you'll be able to become perfect in it, all right? So it's not about me. It's just about, you know, realizing the power of God on my mind, on my inside, and implement. There are very few, like 2%. Most of them will tell you, well, there's nothing hard in life. Just put your mind, you achieve it. So you have two options. To be what? Or to be what? Mad. Allow people to what? Stretch you. You have self-fellowship. All of you are dragging 3-5. 3-5. One person just stand up. Sir, I want to thank God. I have 50 members in myself. Next week, it will be doubled, sir. Everybody will start looking at the person. Before you know, you start hearing side comments. Brother, this has pride. It's a big pride. If they do, I too know. Anytime for meeting, if prophet now talks something, he will remind prophet. Sir, you even gave us an instruction the other day that we should do this. Hey. There are many leaders. Hey. Sir, he told us that we should submit our Bible study report. Hey. I hate this brother. I hate him. I hate him with passion. Prophet, don't forget something, they go. He reminds prophet. Now, over Sabi. Over Sabi, the warrior. Over, I too know. Watch out. You go see what you go do to when he acts in an over Sabi way, that, like you were expecting, because you always see what you are looking for. Then you and your friend will not turn and look at yourself. You don't be praying for the day pastor will disgrace him. Why are you standing? Why are you talking? Sit down, my friend. Prophet, don't disgrace him. There are people like that. As a wise leader, I've pastored for a while. I know human beings. When you show me that somebody is I too know, I pay special attention to that person. Firstly, to if he has pride, I'll deal with it. But I never used to tell them I too know, don't too know. I used to love I too know people. They are always the smartest. They are always the most obedient. They will get the job done. I always used to pray they are not like you reporting them. Because if everybody is like you reporting, we will never achieve anything. So thank God for the I too know people. There is no leader on this earth that is not praying for I too know people. People who always want to come and tell their boss, I got the job done. I got the job done. Sir, first I want to thank God. Yeah, you said we should get 5-5, but I thought to myself, I said, sir, why will you tell me to do 5 and I'll do 5? I thought I've been in this church for years and I can do 50. So, sir, I decided, and I think I'm encouraging every other leader in this place, that we can do beyond what prophet. We can do beyond what prophet is saying. I see people looking at this. You see some people now doing their best like this. This guy is an idiot. This guy is an idiot. An idiot. Because even the 5, they did not achieve it. So, basically, how many souls did you achieve? Sir, I achieved 3. 3 because we used to close late at work. And before I get back home, I am tired. And before I'm done cooking and eating, time has gone. So, I'll now just go towards the street and just, you know, the always have, losers have excuse. Excuse now, what are? Why did you fail? Even while on their deathbed, why did you fail? I failed because. Why did I actually fail? Because if you're on your deathbed, you will now know you had no reason to fail. Now you are claiming you don't have time. You don't have time. You truly don't have time to learn a skill, to win souls. You truly don't have time. 25 years, you don't have time. Hey! I laugh in Swahili. You don't have time. You better wake up. Tell somebody to wake up. I hope you are really being blessed today. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Go back home. I challenge all of you. Become genuine Christian. Don't be moved by. Blah, 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 blah. Become genuine Christian. Follow God step by step. Are you listening to me? Bow your heads and pray. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways. And step by step, You live, and I will follow you all of my days. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step, you lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. I will seek you in the morning, and I will learn to walk in your ways, and step by step, you lead. And I will follow you all of my days. I will seek you. I will seek you in the morning. I will learn. And step by step, you lead. And I will follow. And I will always, I will ever praise you, oh Lord, you are my God. And I will always praise you, I will seek you, I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk your way, and step by step you lead me, Lord, I will follow you, I will seek you in the morning. I will learn to walk your ways. Yeah. Oh, step by step. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you all the praise. Your word is a light for our path. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Go ahead and just pray in the Spirit and say, Lord, help me to do life more properly by your Spirit, by your Word. Go ahead and pray. There's a light that I see, despite of the darkness that surrounds me, and the light that I see only comes alive in a time I hear your voice. There's a light that I see, despite of the darkness that surrounds me, and the light that I see only comes alive anytime I hear your voice. Chip, to the Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' blessed name, we worship and pray.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.